Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Stephen May. Steve, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
Mate, I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you. But first, I must say, you have a really great name.
Yeah, so do you, mate. They're nice and easy to remember.
Well, Steve, look, just a couple of days ago, you found out that you were in the Max's top 10. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Been pretty awesome, really. I've just still come to terms with getting that far in the challenge. I didn't expect to get in the top 10 at all. I'm happy with it, at least.
Well, mate, you should be so proud of the amazing result that you did achieve. You blew me away with your result. And yes, you should be just so, so proud. Mate, Steve, would you like to start by giving us a little bit of an introduction about yourself? So maybe telling us a little bit about where you're from, maybe what you do for work, and, you know, who is Stephen May?
Well, my name's Steve, and I live in Ipswich in Queensland. I'm a painter by trade, unfortunately, I enjoy lifting weights and stuff a lot. I've sort of done a bit of martial arts in the past, and now sort of a few injuries and that have stopped me from doing a lot of things with my neck and my back, but now I've just started to change my life around and try and get as fit as I can for as long as I can, really.
Yeah.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, well, mate, Steve, tell me a little bit about your job. You said you're a painter. What kind of painting are you doing? Are you doing like internally in a house, or is it like bigger jobs? Like, what kind of role are you doing?
Yeah, a bit of industrial painting, like basically all new townhouses and just houses all around Brisbane and all that type of thing, inside and outside, all scaffolds and some high rises sometimes. Just a bit of hard work sometimes.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question. Do you feel that that job is quite physically demanding at times, where you come home and you're feeling quite tired and lethargic, or like physically beaten up?
Yeah, definitely. After some days, like when you're in the sun and up and down scaffold all day, it sort of takes it out of you a fair bit as you're getting older and age, like I am.
Well, mate, maybe we can chat a little bit about how you balance that physical role and then trying to find some energy, some physical drive to get into the gym. But mate, before we touch on that, let's talk about why you chose to start the challenge. Can you start by telling us how many challenges have you started with the Max's challenge?
I think I've done two previously than this last one. I used to watch Max Muscle TV a long time ago. And that sort of kind of inspired me to sort of want to do it. But I never really got around to doing the challenge. And then I just figured that it was time to change my life, really, and try, because I used to drink a lot and do a lot of other things. And then I thought, well, I've time to change my life. So I thought I'd give it a go and try and repay my body with a bit of health. And yeah, basically from there, I just started one challenge and I got fairly good results the first time. And each time I did the challenge, I did have good results, but none like the last challenge that I've just done. Mm-hmm. I just sort of focused a lot more on it and just basically that, and just really wanted to complete everything, really, and put myself first for once, basically.
I like that. Yeah. Put yourself first. Well, look, if we just talk about the May challenge that just came past, can you speak a little bit about what maybe triggered you to sign up to that one? And I say that because it sounds like, you know, you're quite a physical person. You know, you train in the gym, maybe a history of martial arts and training. Was there a moment before the May challenge where you kind of said to yourself, Steve, like, it's time to focus, it's time to do something? You know, was there like, maybe did you catch a reflection of yourself, or was it a buildup of lots of different things? Like, can you speak to us a little bit about what triggered that May challenge?
Yeah, probably a bit of both of that, I'd say.
Yeah.
I sort of always thought I was kind of fit, and then I really wasn't. And then I look at myself in the mirror one day and it's just, I just had enough of the way I was. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this time I could afford to do the Platinum Challenge, which I've never done. I always wondered how that would go. Mm-hmm. And I'll just jump in and do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And now, it was great.
Did you know anything about Platinum before you signed up?
No, I'd just seen it through the previous challenges. I knew it was more of a personalized program, and that's sort of what I wanted this time around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought, you know, if it was individual to me, then I would get the best results that I could. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was over the top, more expected than what I expected, that's for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, it sounds like the Platinum program really helped you to take your physique and training to the next level. So talking about that Platinum experience, what do you think it was about that really took you to the next level? Was it that individual program, or was it the individual nutrition plan, or was it more of like the support and the community? Like, what was it about Platinum that kind of refocused you and got you on track?
It was basically everything about that. The support is fantastic, and the nutrition and the training plan. I can tell you the training plan, I've done weights for a lot of years, and I've never pushed myself as hard as what I had through this challenge ever. Like, I've sort of done PBs on the bench and everything like that. So it was pretty awesome. And I realized that I'd just been sort of going through the motions beforehand with my weights. Mm-hmm. Then now I realize how much I have to keep pushing to get results I want.
Yeah. And I could really relate to that idea of, you know, going through the motions. And when I was younger, I used to see people in the gym, and it seems like I saw the same people like every single day lifting the same weights, and their body just never really changed. And I'd always be like, well, like these guys, I see them here every single day. You know, I've been going to the gym for like a year now, and I see the same people that just never change their body. Like, what are they doing, right? And then as I got older, I realized that I'm not too different from them, where you get into this position where you are just going through the motions, right? You know, you turn up, go to the gym, you choose the same load on a bench press, you choose the same dumbbells to do a bicep curl with, and then you do the same little, you know, stretch routine, then you go home. And then you do that for 10 years, 5 years, however long, and you kind of like sit there and go, well, I haven't really done anything, you know? So my question for you is, how did you break that cycle? And, you know, was it just the Platinum? Like, could you point your finger at that? Or was there something, you know, deeper inside you that you went, Steve, like, let's hustle. Like, let's bring the intensity up. Let's push everything to the limit. Like, what was it that broke the cycle for you?
It was some of the program, the training program. Mm-hmm. It was way sort of less volume than what I've ever been used to. So I have to push harder to get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. And I pushed way hard, and I realized I was a lot stronger in everything that I expected to be. And like for losing weight, I was expected to get weaker, but I actually got stronger, which amazed me. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's so good. Yeah. Well, look, let's talk about volume. Now, when you say volume, what do you refer to when you use those words?
Well, for say a bench, say I would do about 9 to 12 sets just for bench, and then I'd move on to like shoulders or tries and do about the same amount of sets for those same exercises. So a lot of volume. And then with those workouts, it was only basically like 3 to 4 sets, and it will work up to 5, but then it was just, yeah, the amount of reps would go less, so I'd have to put more and more effort into it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I ended up getting stronger, which was, yeah, it was great. And all, 'cause I've never trained like that before. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, a good experience. So yeah. Something new in the book now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, talking about volume, I think that's a challenge. I'll call it a challenge that I see from challengers who train a certain way before they sign up to the challenge. And they'll see our training programs and, okay, our set allocation or our volume allocation, you know, is middle range. But I find that most people train at this higher range of volume that is almost too high for what they're trying to achieve. And this may be more focused towards guys who come from the bro science world or the bodybuilding world, where they see some of these pro bodybuilders who may have some enhancements in them and may have some extra support, who would do a session and they're doing, you know, 30 to 40, even 50 sets in a session, and they're training for, you know, 2 hours at a time. And they wonder why they're not seeing any progress, right? And we find that if we kind of scale back the volume slightly to a more tolerable level, then we start to balance in our recovery, right? And then we start feeling good. And then we go to the gym and we feel like a proper 100%. We go, yeah, I'm going to punish that bench press today. Whereas maybe in the past, you went to go do your chest session or your upper body session, and you know, you're still fatigued from your session a week ago because you did 50 sets, then now your body's still trying to recover, and it's just this like negative cycle. Is that something that you can relate to, that maybe you were in that similar position?
Definitely. Well, that's where I'll sort of take inspiration from past bodybuilders and that for their workout. and then we'll try. And I think that I'd pre-fatigued before I got to the end of my sets. Mm-hmm. So then I wasn't getting any stronger or anything like that. So
yeah,
it's definitely helpful.
Yeah, I guess, you know, touching on that concept of recovery, I think recovery is so important. And I think the biggest mistake I made as a young person entering the gym was I thought I needed to train more. So I needed to train every single day. So, you know, 7 days a week, I even had like a bicep day. I had a tricep day. I had all the days, right? And it wasn't until I kind of forced myself out of that because I actually started working more and more so that I wasn't able to get to the gym as often as I wanted to, that I scaled it back to about 3 or 4 days a week. And mentally, I struggled, right? Because I was like, oh, I've got to get to the gym. I've got to do my tricep day, right?
Yeah.
But then what I found was I got stronger and I got fitter and I got leaner. And I was like, oh, geez, I'm getting in shape. I'm not changing anything. And what ended up happening was I was able to push harder and harder on these big bang for your buck like exercises. And an example, like you said, is like the bench press, right? Where, you know, if you kind of scale back the volume slightly, focus on what you're doing, you hit that hard, right? And I guess when we scale back the volume, we minimize this concept called junk volume. And I'm using quotation marks right now, junk volume, where when we're going above this 10, 15 sets per session, upwards in the bounds of 20, 25, 30 sets, we start to look at it and go, okay, well, those last 5 or 10 sets that you did, were they of any effort, right? And I mean that by those first 5 or 10 sets, you're probably pushing it hard. You're working at your 100%. But then as you get throughout your session, you get halfway and you're maybe at like 50%. You get towards, you know, 3/4 of the way, you're about 25% effort. And then we just wonder, it's like, okay, well, how much effort are you actually putting into those, you know, last 5 sets of lateral raises with 2 kilos in your hands because you're so fatigued from your bench press and your shoulder press and your everything else, other presses in between. So then this concept of junk volume comes in and goes, well, are you better off just going home and having a shower and calling it a day than trying to do more and more and more and more? Or are you better spacing that throughout the whole week? So you do, you know, one set or a few sets of chest every other day. So then you're spacing it out over 4 days rather than 1 day. So I guess at the end of all of this, of my little rant, is that the first thing is scientifically, we don't really know what's better, right? But we can theorize that we go, well, okay, do we want to consider recovery? Do we want to consider muscle adaptation? Do we want to consider this concept of junk volume and what we can actually do, right? And we can just start testing things and go, hey, I respond well to lower volume. And Steve, it sounds like you responded well to this training style. And I don't want to talk any other program down, but it's great that you responded well and you feel good in your body. And, you know, it balanced well with some of the limitations that you may have had, such as, you know, your neck that you said, your back, and maybe some of challenges that you had.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like training past failure in that respect. Mm. That's how I see it now. So you keep training for no reason.
Well, that's it.
That's,
that's it. And I think many young guys get into that trap where they're like, oh, well, everyone else is training to failure. I should train to failure, right? And they do drop sets and negative sets and like partner reps and all these other fancy things that even I learn every other day. Like, what? People do that? And that becomes the normal. It's like every time they do that, they're, you know, chasing the pump, the burn, they're failing, they're, you know, going to the extreme. And then it takes a good 4 or 5 days to recover from that, but then they expect to train the next day, right? And then it's just, you know, negative cycle down.
They realize, oh, nothing's happening to me now.
Right?
Yeah.
But look, let's talk about some challenges. Now, you've kind of spoken a little bit about some previous injuries and you kind of mentioned some maybe nerve pain and such, but can you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that you had to overcome to complete the challenge and get an amazing result that you did?
Yes, well, I have arthritis all through my spine and I have the C4 and C3 impingements and L4 and L5, same deal. And so, like, especially anything to do with squats or like bent over rows and all that's extremely difficult, especially anything sort of with a bit of heaviness. If I put over 60 kilos type thing on my back, then the pain just is there for the degenerative discs. So, but there's ways to train around that. So with a dip belt, I'll do squats with a dip belt on instead of a barbell on my back just to take the pressure off my spine and basically make sure my technique is best as can be, especially the bent over rows because I've thrown my back way out in the past by trying way too heavy and wrong technique and it just popped and I couldn't walk for a week. But yeah, that's sort of a half a challenge there. And then, but after doing it, lighter weights and just making sure I get that done right, it's, it seems to have come a lot better. Like the pain's there, but it's definitely a lot more manageable now, with, especially with arthritis and losing weight, because it's more inflammatory. So if you can lose weight, which is kind of inflammatory in my eyes, then everything seems to get a bit better.
Yeah.
It's still, it's more tolerable than, there's no magic bullet, but it's tolerable at least. So it definitely helps. I'd class it as like physio with heavy weights.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about like pain, yeah, I think, you know, we need to find a tolerance to that, right? And I think one of the worst things we could do when we are experiencing an injury or pain is to just completely avoid movements, right? And locking ourselves in movement jail where we go, oh, well, no, I have arthritis in my spine, or, you know, other words like, oh, I've got my back's out, or, you know, I've got degeneration, or whatever language you want to use. And sometimes that can be really mentally isolating, and you go, oh, well, I don't want to bend, I don't want to twist, I don't want to lift, I don't want to move my arms anymore, I don't want to move my legs anymore, I don't want to walk anymore, and I just want to lie on the couch because of those reasons. And I think to actually start rehabilitating yourself and getting yourself back is to slowly build up tolerance over time, which you would have experienced, where, okay, maybe you can't squat with 60 kilos on your back, but okay, what can you do? All right, you've modified it and turned it into a like a hip belt squat, or a squat with a dip belt, or, you know, modify the movement in a bent over row. Maybe you did a chest supported bent over row or a machine row to strengthen yourself up. And then you may have found that as you built tolerance, you're like, oh, hey, Steve, this is great. I can bend and twist and I can do movements again, right? Can you speak a little bit about talking about pain, like your experiences with pain? Like what went through your mind when you're exercising and you might feel that little bit of a twinge or like tightness or, you know, that pain sensation? What did you do? Did you modify the movement? Did you rest? Did you stretch it? Like what kind of things did you do to do your physio with heavy weights?
Yeah, we kind of stretched, but then I sort of just reassessed what I was doing, mm-hmm. just in case I was doing it wrong. Because, and then so long as I was focused way more on my technique than anything, mm-hmm. it went well, basically. And if there was a twinge, I'd stop and just sort of reset myself to start again and just to make sure that I was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty easy in the end, really. And really, I would lighten weights, but with a bent over row, I wouldn't and couldn't go heavy anyway because my strength isn't the greatest there. But yeah, it was just simplifying things a bit to help me out and then just overcoming what the normal exercise would do and try and see what another one would be that would help me rather than just sort of the main exercise, which was good because you had plenty of choices of exercises as well, not just. It had to be bent over row, which you could have to do the support one, which I ended up doing that a lot now. And I was the same. I was one of those people that used to, oh, I can't do this exercise because of my back and all the rest of it. And I thought, well, I don't want to be doing nothing forever still for the rest of my life. So I've got to try and do something. Otherwise, I'm just going to, you know, just sit around doing nothing and it's not good for you, basically.
Yeah. I want to talk about technique and form. And you've spoken a little bit about making sure your form's correct. How did you make sure that your form was correct? Did you maybe film yourself and then like watch yourself back? Or did you maybe research online or through textbooks or whatever on what is the correct form and what should be where you are, whatnot? Or did you have someone watching you? Like what did you do to make sure that it was?
Well, I first watched a lot of John Delaney's videos on form and technique. Then I basically got a mirror in where I work out. So I work out in my garage. And just basically videoed myself as well. And I'll just go over that and check it out and just make sure I did everything right. Mm. So most of it was fine. I did have to redo some things, like even with my bench press that I've been doing, I thought I was doing properly for ages. I was lifting my shoulder on my right side, sort of getting the weight up. So I was favoring that. So basically you have to go back to scratch and retrain yourself, which is pretty hard sometimes. So.
Yeah. I've definitely been there myself where you feel like you're nailing the movement. You're like, oh, yeah, I nailed that bench press. And then you film yourself and you're like, oh, my God, what's happening with my shoulder? It's just doing this funky like shoulder roll. Or you film yourself squatting and you're doing this like, you know, little Elvis dance and your legs are wobbling around. You're like, oh, I didn't notice that. And
no, you think you're going so deep and you're only going halfway.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that it's so valuable to film yourself and film yourself without the intent to post it online, right? And I say this for people who might be training in a commercial gym where there's other people around. You're not filming yourself for the only reason to put it online. You know, I've got hundreds of videos of me exercising and I watch them back like every other day to be like, all right, how can I get better? And, you know, you're always looking for ways to get better, right? And film yourself doing a squat and you're like, oh, that felt really average while I was doing it. And you watch it back and you're like, oh, actually, it was pretty good. Or the other way, you felt like you're a rock star lifting it. And you're like, yeah, that was awesome. And you watch it back and you're like, oh, Steve, you shouldn't be doing that, you know? So my advice, anybody's watching, spend more time filming yourself, reflect on your own technique. And yeah, once you have those videos, you can reach out for help. You know, you can post it up on our like Facebook support group. If you're part of Platinum, you know, we do have more in-depth analysis of technique where we use John Dalanak or JD and such to assess your technique. And there you might be able to get more help and go, okay, I have no idea about the squat. Here's a video of my squat. What can I do to get better? And it might be a bunch of people saying, oh, take your shoes off. Oh, sit on a bench. Oh, you know, stretch your hips first or don't go as heavy or, you know, whatever normal things. You try those things and you retest and you go, hey, it actually feels good when I take my shoes off, or, oh, I don't like taking my shoes off. That's not good. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about change. So look, if you jump in your little time machine and you go back to your very first challenge that you started, how has your life changed between where you were back then to where you are now?
Well, it's changed a fair bit in a way of way more nutritionally wary now, like more knowledge on nutrition, which was a big failure of mine for a long time. So I was like a pie and coffee connoisseur. That's what I'd live on. And it doesn't help your gains when you don't know what to eat. So, and that would always let me down was my dietary side of things. And I always put it in the too hard basket of everyone knows how to eat healthy. It's kind of what the amount of the portion sizes and not knowing how to cook healthy, which the challenge was great for that with all the recipes and everything. So it's not just, you know, plain rice with chicken and that's it type thing. It's quite, you have to be, what's the word, sort of like happy and when you eat. And it's not just plain, otherwise you're bound to fail in something you don't like to do. So eating's great, and now I love the food that I eat to lose weight and hopefully maintain it. Well, there's an option, so hopefully I will maintain it and gain a bit more size back now, but in the right way.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad that you were able to learn skills not only in the challenge, but then I guess outside the challenge and go, okay, over this 12 weeks of quote-unquote boot camp or, you know, this educational course, I learned and understand more about food and understood the importance of good nutrition. And then now you go, hey, okay, I have the skills in my, you know, tool belt, right? To be like, oh, I can do this for a long time. And I'm sure that you're starting to inspire others and teach others the importance of nutrition, right? Yeah. Have you found that throughout your transformation, you know, people coming up to you going, Steve, what are you doing, mate? Like, you're losing a lot of weight. That's amazing. Like, what's your secret? Did you find people doing that to you?
Yeah, I work roughly with about, I'd say 10 people, and most of them are all young guys. Mm-hmm. And half of them now want to start training and do exactly what I'm doing now. They've seen it happen from the start sort of thing. So, yeah, so it definitely inspired them to get fit and eat right, basically.
So good.
And live a bit healthier of a lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, man.
An old guy like me can do it. Nothing stopping you guys.
So good. Steve, look, I've got a few questions here, a little bit of like a speed dating thing. First question is, what's your favorite exercise?
Definitely bench press.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm team bench press too. I do love a good bench press.
International Monday, bench press day.
International chest day Monday. Love it. All right, let's talk about lower body then. Are you team squats or team deadlifts?
It would have to be squats.
Team squats. Good. Love it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about cardio. Are you a fan of cardio or do you have a love-hate relationship with it?
Love-hate relationship. I'm not very good with cardio.
What's your cardio of choice, your poison of choice? Is it running? Is it?
No, I can't really run much. So it's Tabata.
Tabata, okay. Nice, yeah. A little bit of circuit style.
Quickly, yes.
Yeah.
I just do a fair bit of leg work in the Tabata, so it really wrecks me, basically.
Yeah. In and out, good and nice and short and quick. Okay, let's talk about flexing. What's your favorite muscle to flex?
Most muscular.
Most muscular. See, I like that. you know, every person I've spoken to, and I'm like, what's your favorite muscle to flex? And they're like, oh, you know, my back, my bicep, my abs, or anything like that. And you've chosen the most muscular. You're a bodybuilder in heart, right?
I'm just not a professional, but I'm a bodybuilder. I'm trying to be.
Yeah, I competed in some amateur bodybuilding once upon a time, and my favorite was the front lat spread because I felt like Superman. You're standing there and your hands by your hips and you're spreading out your lats, and yeah, you're like, oh, I'm Superman. Yeah. Anyway. All right, look, let's talk about dinner. What was your go-to dinner throughout the challenge?
The go-to dinner was basically just the steak with some seasoning, the rice and the vegetables, basically. I just really liked it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with that. I'm stuck with what I like.
Love it. All right, let's talk about protein powder. What was your favorite flavor of protein powder?
It's definitely the chocolate shred, the shred system, the chocolate one.
The chocolate one? Yeah. So
good. Yeah. Chocolate to me is normal protein. That's the chocolate.
Steve, let's talk about advice. So let's say one of the guys you work with came up to you and was like, Steve, I want to get fit and healthy, or they're about to start the Max's Challenge themselves. What advice would you give that person?
Well, I'd basically just tell them to totally commit to it for a start. Don't hesitate. Just jump in and do it and just commit to getting it done, because it will definitely help you. And just listen to advice. If you want advice, ask somebody. There's people there to help. No one's not friendly. So, yeah, just get in and get it done, basically, is all I can say, because it's great.
Get in and get it done. Steve, I love it. Mate, I want to take a moment just to thank you for being part of the Challenge podcast. And, you know, I just want to congratulate you on such an amazing result. You've shown us young guys that anyone can do it, and you must be so proud of the results that you've achieved. So congratulations and thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.